This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out once again at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners, bringing you God's message as he lays it on my heart, and letting the chips fall where they may. We're just bringing you the truth, thus saith the Lord. And I want to mention, many of you folks may not have heard us often enough or not recently come on the station where you're listening. I have a little pamphlet put together here, what we at the Trailblazer broadcast most surely believe. Yes, it gives you a little synopsis of what we believe here, and some folks are interested in that, in those things, but we just, poor old sinner, I want to give you just a little synopsis of it, and then I'll send you this little pamphlet if you write me. We believe that the Bible is the absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired Word of God. We believe that there's only one living, true God. We believe that man was a direct creation of God. We believe that salvation is wholly of grace. We believe in order to be saved, a sinner must be regenerated or born again. We believe that repentance and faith are sacred duties, also inseparable graces. We believe that election is the purpose of God according to his will. We believe in the eternal security of the believer. We believe that the law of God is eternal. We believe that Jesus Christ was virgin born. We believe that he's in the imminent coming of our Lord, and that Christian baptism is immersion in water, and the Lord's Supper is the second of two ordinances the Lord left us here. And we have this other good bit of other material there. If you send it, write me. I'll be glad to send it to you. Just ask me, Old Trailblazer, send me that pamphlet on what you believe. We're bringing you a study, if you know, on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's been a gracious two or three, four or five studies that we already brought you. But listen, we're looking now at the beginning of the book, the salutation, if you will. We saw there where we were washed. He washed us from our sins, and what a price he paid. Blood redemption, my friend, flows through the entire Bible, beginning with the third chapter of Genesis, as we saw there in our last study, speaking about Cain and Abel, how that the blood sacrifice was made. When Jehovah Jesus slew those animals, shed the blood, made coats of skin, clothed Adam and Eve after he drove them out of the garden, old Adam, realizing what that was meant, seeing the day of Christ, called his wife Eve, the mother of living. Then on the outside of the garden, again there we see Cain and Abel making their decision. When Abel stood by the altar with dripping blood and bowed head as a sinner, offered his sacrifice unto God, and God accepting it. We see Abraham on Mount Moriah offering a ram as a substitute in the place of his son. All through the Old Testament, there flows a river of blood as a type of the coming of Christ, the Son of God, the sinner's sin offering. Yonder on the banks of Jordan, John the Baptist, looking up on Christ as he walked, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Yonder in the Garden of Gethsemane, on that evil, awful night, when we see God the Father laying the sins of his elect upon the heart of the Son of God, dripping with blood, he marches forth from that garden and makes his way slowly to Golgotha's hill. Do you know, folks, if you go there and read, while he was there in the garden, the Bible says that the angels came and refreshed him. They came there and refreshed him. And I've often thought about this, just my own particular feeling, that they refreshed him because he was bleeding or sweating great drops of blood. And had he bled to death in the garden, there'd be no atonement. You and I would have no substitute, my friend. He had to go to the cross. His destiny was the cross. We see him hanging there while God further pours out his wrath as if he were pouring it out upon us sinners until he cries, "It is finished." That mournful cry. Oh, listen, thank God our sin debt was paid in full on Calvary's cross. Then he says, "Hath made us kings and priests unto God," which means he made us a kingdom. And every born-again believer is a priest unto God, offering thanksgiving, praise, and worship unto him who is and was and who is to come. Then in this seventh verse, we behold the theme of the book. the theme text of the book, which reads, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." That word "behold" is used to attract our attention, just as when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," or when the Apostle John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Listen, friend, "Behold, he cometh." You remember that verse there in Isaiah where it says, "Behold, behold, come buy and eat without money and without price"? That's a gracious invitation, my friend. I bring you that at this time. The old man hollering, "Come, come by, eat without." And what a picture of grace. What a picture of the Lord saving us. And he tells us to come. He tells us, "Behold, come. You don't have anything to buy with. Come without money, without price." And now, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." Listen, our Lord is coming. He came the first time as a babe in Bethlehem. Oh, listen, how that has been degraded and downgraded into this Christmas scene, my friend, and all of that. Folks have no regard for God. No, they have no regard for God. They put emphasis on a nativity scene, and they don't know anything about the majesty of God, the holiness of God, the awesomeness of God, and they take their pleasure in those things. But listen, he will come the second time in the rapture, as we spoke about in a previous lesson, as a bridegroom for his bride. He came the first time as a suffering servant. He will come the second time as a warlord, riding upon a white stallion, leading the armies of heaven. He came the first time as a sin offering, as a lamb slain. He will come the second time as King of kings and Lord of lords. He came the first time to redeem his own precious, to redeem us with his own precious blood. He will come the second time, apart from a sin offering, to destroy those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read that verse often. It says, to obey is greater than sacrifice. Now, I tell my folks, some who are attempting to weave a cloak of covering for their sins, the Bible says to obey. To obey is greater than sacrifice. You remember the story there of Saul, who went down and was supposed to slew all the animals and the king and all the people, but he brought the good animals back and the king back. And the prophet said, "What meaneth the lowing of the cattle?" And he said, "Oh, the people wanted those for a sacrifice." And he said, "Oh," he said, to obey. To obey is far greater than sacrifice. And then we see again, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." Once he came to die, but now, behold, he cometh. He liveth now as our high priest, but behold, he cometh. Unsaved one, and I wish you'd listen. Lost sinner, unconcerned sinner, you who are frivolous, behold, he cometh. Born again believer, would you listen? Behold, he cometh. He said on one night, there the night of his betrayal, "I will come again." After he left Mount Olivet, he ascended back to heaven. Two men, messengers from heaven, dressed in white, appeared to those 11 disciples who stood there gazing into heaven and said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." He went away from Mount Olivet. He's coming back to Mount Olivet. He went away in the clouds. He cometh with clouds. He went away in bodily form. He'll come back in bodily form. There are two stages of his coming. I want you to get this. He will come first as a bridegroom, according to 1 Thessalonians 4. He will leave heaven with a shout and come in midair for his saints. For his saints. Do you hear that? For his saints. The body of every born-again believer will be raised from the dead, and every living believer will be changed and fashioned like his glorious body. Yes, they will be raised. I change that to we. We shall be raised, changed by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and then we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. For 7 years, then, for 7 years. Then, according to Daniel 27:9-27, we will live with him there in the air while he pours out judgment after judgment upon this Christ-rejecting world. At the close of those 7 years, as set forth in Revelation 19, he will come with his saints. You saw first, he came for his saints. Now he comes with his saints back to this earth. That's what the seventh verse means when it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." When he comes for his saints, only those who know him will see him. He will take them by force out of this world. But when he comes with his saints back to this earth to reign, every eye shall see him. Yes, the sinner of all ages, those of all ages who have rejected him will behold him. Judas, who betrayed him, shall look upon him. The soldiers who drove the nails in his hands will gaze upon him. The one who pierced his side with a spear shall see him. Those who mocked him shall see him. And you too, my friend, shall see him. Every infidel shall behold him. Every atheist, every agnostic, every evolutionist, every modernist, every Christ rejecter shall see him. Now, won't that be an awful day, my friend? Won't that be an awful day? Oh, listen, you who have rejected him, turned your back, what are you going to say, my friend, when you'll have to look upon him, the one whom you have rejected? Every unsaved preacher will behold him. You have gone into the pulpit and tried to preach without knowing the Lord. And when you see him, then it will be too late. Every unsaved church member will see him. It says, "They also which pierced him shall see him." The word "pierced" refers to all who reject the Son of God. Do you know that everyone who rejects the Son of God has the same spirit as the man who actually drove the spear into his side? Did you ever stop to realize that every individual hates God, but for the marvelous grace of God, no one would ever be saved? Oh, my friend, I bring that to you at this time. No one would ever be saved except for the grace of God. We spoke of God's grace in a little earlier study there. The unmerited favor of God, that doesn't even touch the hem of the garment, speaking of what it is, does it? No, the unmerited favor of God. It's free favor. But listen, my friend, it's free. God's grace is free. You can't work it up. You can't pray it up. You can't think it up. You can't write it up. You can't do anything, my friend, except come to God. Come to Christ as a poor old lost sinner in all of your sinfulness and all of your rebellion, like the old prodigal son there in the hog pen. He got up out of that hog pen. He smelled like hogs. He'd been eating hog feed for no telling how long. But he came to himself, and he climbed that hog pen fence and got out and started home. That's when the Lord awakened him, said he came to himself. And that's what happens. When you come to yourself, you'll get up and come to Christ. Throw down your slop bucket and come to Christ. This is the old Trailblazer. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis bringing you another study, coming to a close now, of another study on the book of Revelations. And I hope you're enjoying these studies. I appreciate it if you'd write me. My mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.